All right, let's look here at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit." How? Through faith. We're talking on the subject, the reality of redemption. Now, we say the reality of redemption because many of God's people have not been experiencing the fullness of the benefits that Jesus died for. And we have gotten saved, thank God for that. But I'm even teaching on Wednesday nights about growing up in Christ, that we're not to remain babies on milk bottles and formula, but at some point in our time, in our lives, we need to grow up, and we need to be able to handle that word skillfully. Now, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the curse came into the earth as the result of Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, the curse came into the earth, and the Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we've heard that before. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but God sent a gift into the earth, and he brought eternal life. His name is Jesus. And when Jesus came into the earth, he is called the Redeemer. The Redeemer. As you go into the Old Testament, you'll see that played out in different places, and places, a story of Ruth and different stories. You'll see it played out. But all of that is pointing to Christ. It's pointing to the Redeemer. Now, when he came into the earth, he came as our appointed representative, and he came to be our sacrifice and our substitute. Now, what happened? He became a curse for us. He became a curse for us. Because curses everyone that, what? Hangeth on a tree. Now, so as a result of that, he took our poverty. Hold something right there. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, the curse is threefold: poverty, sickness, and death. He took our poverty. Let's look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For we know, ye know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So Jesus became poor so that you don't have to be poor. Instead of being poor, you can be what?
Rich.
Now, none of this in the scriptures is automatic. God will allow what? You will allow. He will permit poverty to come on you and run you all over town if you permit it. So we have to resist the devil, come on, and he will flee from us. We have been many times nursing a condition that God wants us to get rid of. So here we have the fact that we've been redeemed from poverty. Also, we've been redeemed from sickness. Let's go over to Psalms 91. We've been redeemed from sickness. Now, you can be sick if you want to, but we've been redeemed from it. Now, I'm saying we are so far from sickness in the reality of redemption that when sickness comes through town, we can turn it down. Boy, that'll rhyme, won't it? Sickness comes through town, just turn it down. Amen. I think I'll make a bumper sticker. Sickness comes through town, just turn it down in Jesus' name. All right, look what it says here. And this is Psalms 91. It's familiar to a lot of people. But let's start reading at verse 5 for the sake of time. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, and they shall keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you even dash your foot against a stone. Let me do something. Let me read that out of another translation, because it gives you another degree of understanding. It says, fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon, not even though others succumb all around and drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You will stand untouched. Watch it from a distance. Watch the wicked turn to corpses. Yes, because God is your refuge. The high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He orders his angels to guard you wherever you go. Now, if you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, saith God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. Now, that's what that said. You got what I'm saying? Now, what am I saying? You're redeemed from sickness. But come on over here to Psalms and Psalm 103. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his what? His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and what? Healeth all thy diseases. Now, this is a part of your covenant rights, that even if you get sick, you can get healed. Now, I read in Psalm chapter 91, you don't have to get sick. But even if you do get sick, you can get healed. Now, come on over to Psalms 107, please. Over in Psalms 107, it says in verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So you got to say so. So? I just thought I'd throw that in there. Come on over to James, if you will, and James chapter 5. We've been redeemed. I said we have been redeemed. We are not going to be redeemed. We are redeemed right now. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Well, you don't know what I did, Reverend. All right, let's go to James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Now, I'm talking to you. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall do what to the sick? Save the sick. And the Lord shall do what to him? Raise him up. And if he committed in sin, have committed sins, they shall be what? Forgiven. So if you committed sin, they'll be forgiven. Now, I'm here to tell you that you don't need to call for the elders of the church. You can take the word of God and get your own deliverance. Are you with me? So now what we see here is that we can receive it from the Lord, but the blessing of the Lord is coming on us by faith. In other words, we need faith for the working of miracles or the supernatural to come into our lives. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the spirit of receive ye the spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Holy Ghost by the law or by the faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, and you are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the what? Hearing of faith. All right, now keep something right there and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You go into an environment that is heavily legalistic, and you won't find miracles. Because what the legalism is it's the law. And he is saying here, wait a minute, did you receive the Spirit by the law or by the hearing of faith? By the word of faith, by grace. And you'll find in people's lives, one of the things that blocks their way to miracles many times is legalism, is the law. Now, you got to hear me now, because I am still a holiness preacher. But you got to find out what holiness is and how to get there. Now, look at 1 Timothy here and chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the who? Lawless, the and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers. Stop right there. That's enough. That's not you. That's, you are the righteous. The law wasn't made for you. Now, Jesus spoke this, or the prophet spoke this, over in the Old Testament. Let's go over there. Jeremiah chapter 31, please. Jeremiah chapter 31. Have you got it? All right, look what it says here in verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their where? Inward parts. And I will write in their hearts and will be their, I will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be who? My people. Now, I'm going to stop right there. So he's talking about the days that we're in now, the days of the church age. He is saying, wait a minute, I'm going to put my law somewhere else. I'm going to put it in their hearts. Now, he didn't do that in the Old Testament. He put it on stone, the Ten Commandments, written by the finger of God for Moses, and Moses delivered to the children of Israel, and he put it in the law of the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, into the Torah. Now, that was a law. Now, they were under that. But come on back to Galatians again, and Galatians chapter 3. Glory to God. Let me know when you get there. Verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by what? Promise, not by law. Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of what? Transgression, till what? The seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, Moses. Now, all right, I'm just slowing down here because I'm taking somewhere and I want you to stay with me. The law was added. So here's Abraham. Did Abraham have a law? No, didn't have any law. Now, 430 years later, they found themselves here. They were in bondage in Egypt. Now they came out of bondage, and God had to give them a law. Now, that law couldn't save them. But it was designed to point the way to the Savior. Because nobody kept that law but the Savior. Nobody could keep it. I don't care how much they tried. Nobody could keep it. And that's what he wanted to show them. Now, why the law? They weren't born again. God, because of their transgression, their sin, God had to have a way of covering their sin. So he put a law in place and put a priesthood in place and had the priest to go into the temple on the Day of Atonement and offer up sacrifices so that they could atone for their sins and the blessings would keep coming to them. Now, I'm going to tell you this because you're not under this. Said, oh, foolish Galatians, you started in the Spirit. You started by grace. Now you're going to go under the law? And he said, you're negating your miracles. You're making an environment where the miracles don't happen. Because if you work for it, he can't do it. It's by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anybody would boast. God made it so that Abraham, when Abraham was following God and the blessings of Abraham were coming on him, the blessings were not earned. You couldn't work for it. You had to believe for it. Where was your sickness placed? On Jesus. So God has done it. He's dealt with it. He dealt with it. Now, why are you going to try to work for it and pay for it? Now, we're going to get there because I got to get this over to you and get you really running with me. Now, we're going to get there. All right. So, the law was never designed to save but to point to Christ. And it was not given to provide salvation, but it was a way to salvation. That it would point the way to salvation. And it wasn't made for a righteous man. God already sees you righteous. You're not righteous because of goody way you act. You're righteous because of how you were born. Now, Jesus came in the earth and fulfilled all righteousness. He came in the earth, and one of the things he did is he fulfilled the law. And when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And what was finished was the law, because he kept it perfectly. Now, because he kept it, it was now set aside. So now you're not under the law anymore, you're under grace. So now the blessing, now let's go back and read this again. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Being made what? A curse for us. For it is what? Written. Cursed is everyone that what? Hangs on a tree, that the blessing, no S on that now. Wait a minute now. I want you to get that. The blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Now, stay with me. Who was this to? The Galatians. Who was Paul called to as a ministry gift? Who was he called to take the gospel to? The Gentiles. Now, wait a minute. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Folks, if that is everyone, anyone that was legal, it was him. But notice, when he went to the Gentiles, he didn't preach the law. Now, how does the law come into you and me? It comes into us through the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God begins to tutor us into Christ. So the Spirit of God, if you go off and you say something you shouldn't have said, or you smoke something you shouldn't have smoked, come on now, can I talk about it? Come on now. Come on, you take something you shouldn't have taken. Amen. The Spirit of God is in you as a tutor to correct you and pull you back on course. You got what I'm saying? When the curses are already in the earth, they're in the earth right now. Now, for those curses to get you, let's say it's raining outside and you come in with an umbrella. Well, as long as you got that umbrella up, you're protected. The umbrella is the truth. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free of the curses. So God's word is not designed to bind you. It's designed to protect you. Because either side of that word and outside of the boundaries of his word is a curse. And the curse is already out there waiting for you. Poverty, sickness, and death. Your protection is to obey God. Is this making sense to you? So you can be redeemed and still walking in the curses because you're walking in disobedience. Now, you don't need to struggle for the blessings, because the blessings that Abraham got were not earned. Oh, Lord have mercy. I got to go back and do some teaching now. These Gentiles, look at verse 14 again. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the what? Promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Now, what did the Spirit promise Abraham? Turn to Romans chapter 4. Let's see what he promised Abraham. Then we're going back to the covenant. Now, this is very important for you. This is something that you got to take time to teach, but most folks have not come this far. And that's why the churches are still in babyhood, and you got one on every corner cooking chicken dinners trying to get the building fund. Look what it says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, somebody say heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his who? Seed through the law, but through what? Righteousness of faith. Come on down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by what? Grace, to the end the promise might be sure to who? All the seed. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3 again. I got to do this. Now you just get the tape and you can put the thing together. Look at verse 26. Have you got it? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have done what? Put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is neither black nor white. For you are all one where? In Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then are you whose seed? Abraham's seed and what? Heirs according to the promise. The promise that God made to who? Abraham. The promise that God made to Abraham, we just read it in Romans chapter 4, that you have now inherit, you're going to inherit the world. Got it? You're going to inherit the world. He's talking to you. What is he doing? The world was in the hands of Satan and his children. But God is now saying, I'm going to restore the years that the cankerworm has taken away. I'm going to take everything in the world and bring it back over into the hands of my children. Because that's where it was when Adam had it. Now, y'all still with me? All right, let's go back to Genesis now. And Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. Amen. Paul preaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, all things are yours. Over in Romans chapter 8, he said he's freely given you all things. Over in Psalms chapter 115 and verse 14, he said the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Come on. Over in Psalms chapter 8, he said he's put all things under your feet. Over even in Psalms chapter, I'm just spelling them out now. Over even in Psalms chapter 105 and verse 44, he says, I've given you the lands of the heathen and you've inherited the labor of the people. Not only do you get the land, I'm talking about property, but you get the inheritance of the labor that they use to put the property in place. That means every house that was built by the heathen was built with you in mind. I'm telling you now. Now, you're going to receive the promise of the Spirit. How? By faith. By faith. You ain't going to feel it first. You got to say it first. You got to believe it first. God, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. The wealth is ready to be transferred. Say amen to this. Now, let's look at this. This is Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. In other words, come out of this world system and your dependence on its economy. You come out of there. Now, that's what God told Abram to do. And I will make of thee a what? Great nation. And I will bless you, make your name great. You'll be a blessing. And thou shalt be a blessing. So we said there's two parts to this covenant. One part is our part. The other part is God's part. Now, the Bible says to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. And it said, glory to God. Come on, can you go with me? Put something right there because I'm coming right back. Galatians chapter 3. See, I'm going to slow walk the devil on out of here. I'm telling you, I want him out of your life forever. Look at Galatians chapter 3, if you will. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his who? Seed were the promises made. He said, not to seeds as many, but as a one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, could not disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham, how? By promise. Then wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of what? Transgression. Now, notice what he said. This covenant was for Abraham, the promise was for Abraham and his what? Seed. And not seeds as many, but thy seed, which is what? Christ. Now say with me, Christ. It was for Christ. Now Christ didn't need it. So Christ was a substitute for you. So when you're talking about Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now the blessing of Abraham come on the Gentiles, the blessing of Abraham is coming on me. Because when he made the promise, he made it to Abraham and me. Now you can put your name in there. He made it to Abraham and Susan, or Bob, or Bubba, or Pookinim. He made it to us, individually. This was made to Abraham and to his seed. All right, now just I'm taking it home for a reason. Come on back over to Genesis chapter 12, please. Now, notice there's two parts to this covenant. One is our part and his part. Now God told Abram, get up out of there and leave this place that you're in right now and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Notice he didn't tell him where the land was. He said, I'm going to show you where the land was. And when he said that and he's going to show him where the land was, notice what he's saying here. Praise God. He is saying, you just go where I tell you to go. Now I don't have a brochure for you, but you just go where I tell you to go. You got what I'm saying? Now, he had to do that. He had to follow God and God's leading. And then God said this, verse 2, and I'll make of thee a great nation. Now, if you do that, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And I'm going to bless you. Watch this. And make your name great. And thou shalt be what? A blessing. I'm going to bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be what? Blessed. Watch this. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now, he didn't tell him to take Lot, but he took Lot. Look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed going on still forward to the south. Now, he didn't stop where God wanted him to stop because it didn't look that appealing. So he went on down to Egypt. Now, before he's getting down to Egypt, he made an agreement with Sarah, said, listen, said, now, Pharaoh and them, I don't know about those people, but if they think I'm your husband, they might kill me and take you because you're a pretty good looking girl. So here's what we want. Tell them you're my sister. Now, notice what he's doing now. God already told him he's going to protect him. He said, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that try to curse you. But notice, he didn't trust God. So I'm saying, isn't it interesting? He didn't follow God perfectly, but he's still going to get blessed. Even when we've been faithless, God still is faithful. Now, he went on down there, and because he finally, this kind of got revealed to Pharaoh, where he... where Abram was coming from and that she was his wife. Look what happened in chapter 13. Now, what I'm telling you is this, folks. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The days of you coming to church and hearing some kind of sermon are over. You need teaching. If I can get this word in you and it change your image, your image will bring you into your wealthy place. See, nobody. Folks, if somebody comes in here and they're in a bad neighborhood and that neighborhood is kind of torn down and so forth, I'll put this word in them. And they'll go back to that neighborhood. What do you think will happen if they got a strong enough word in them and they hit that neighborhood? The neighborhood will change. See, everything has to change for the word's sake. See, the word will change you. God spoke a word and light came, spoke another one and clouds came, spoke another one, fish came, spoke another. That same word is in the Bible here. If you put it in you and get back in that community and begin to speak and act on that word, everything around you must line up. Every drug dealer got to go. Joseph had so much word in him until he went in the prison and turned it around and got everybody in order. Don't tell me what the word can't do. Look what he's done here. This mall had been bought by two different people trying to do something with it. They couldn't do nothing with it. Wasn't no word in them. But the word is in this church. This is a living word. And they'll do it in your house. You get enough word in you and everything in that house got to line up. You get enough word in you, everything around you at that job got to line up. You get enough, come on now. The devil is a liar. Now let's keep going now. I got to teach you, see. Verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Very rich in what? Cattle, silver, and gold. Now understand, God had blessed him. So now his anointing is getting him cattle, silver, and gold. Folks, that just didn't happen. That's the anointing producing this. He had an anointing for gold. He had an anointing for silver. He had, well, today it's money. He had an anointing to get these things. Now, as you go on down here, I'm not going to read all of that, but then if you go on over to Genesis chapter 14, you'll see that Lot went into Sodom and Gomorrah, and he became the mayor down there. And next thing you know, some enemies got together and swept down through Sodom and Gomorrah and swept everybody away. Got the people and the property. However, Abram heard about it. Verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brothers were taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. Now, I told you about this verse. 300 and how many servants? 18. Where were they born? In his house. Did they have a mama? A mother. Did the mother have some man? Let's call it a daddy, that got her conceived so that this child could be born. So that's at least the servant, the mother, and the daddy. Now, were probably any of the servants married? Yeah, they was grown. They was out here going fight. If that was the case, did any of them have kids? So you're talking about 2,000 people. Now, I'm gonna build something in your mind, because you've seen some pictures, and the motion pictures show Abram out there with a little stick and a few little sheep. That's a lie. See, that ain't the blessing of Abraham. This is what I'm trying to get to you. I'm trying to get to you. You under the same anointing that's on Abraham. But I'm going to show you why perhaps it hasn't been manifesting in your life. Now, look what it says here next. So he went out, pursued them, and brought back everything. All right, let's keep going. And let's go over now to Genesis chapter 24. Let me know when you get there. Now, this is when Abram sent out Eleazar to go get a wife for his son, Isaac. And he came up on this place where he wanted to water his camels and so forth. And he ran into this woman. What was her name? Rebecca. All right. Then the next thing he gave her some gold and so forth. And I'm not going to even go into all of that. But verse 29, and Rebecca had a brother, and his name was who? Laban. And Laban ran out to this man because he saw that gold hanging off Rebecca. I'm not going to go there. Look at verse 34. And this is what Eleazar said to them. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord has blessed my master how much? Greatly. And he has become what? Great. And he has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants. I mean, this is a whole financial statement of this man. Camels and asses. Now, in today's thinking, that could be flocks and herds. So if you got flocks and herds, you got commodities. And if you got that, you know you got some places where you do slaughterhouses, and you got to ship them somehow. So you got to have some airplanes and some trucks, and you got to have some banks because you're making so much money. Come on now. Now, if you're going over to chapter 25, this is what I want you to see. Look at verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had to who? Isaac. Now, all that he had, meaning that Abram now is going to take the 2,000 that he had. He's going to give them over to Isaac. Not only that, he's going to give the land over to Isaac. He's going to give the gold over to Isaac. He's going to give the silver over to Isaac. He's going to give the men's servants and the maid servants over to Isaac. But not only that, he laid hands on him to give an ability or an anointing or the blessing of Abraham to pass to Isaac. Now, if you turn over to chapter 26, you'll see the blessing begin to manifest. Glory to God. And there was a famine. Famine means severe shortage in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into where? Unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. So the Lord appeared to him and said what? Don't go to Egypt. Stay in this land, watch this, and if you do, I will be with you and bless you and give you all this land. In other words, don't go back to the old demonic economic system. I told you to come out of there. Your part of the agreement is to come out of there, and don't go back to it. And if you don't go back to it, I'm going to bless you. Now, that blessing is an anointing. That anointing comes on you for gold, silver, cattle, land. It's a lot of things. And they're shown throughout the other seed or descendants of Abraham. They're showing the different aspects of that blessing. But let me just cover this. What activates This blessing pact is your obedience. See, it was very attractive to go down to Egypt. But he said, don't go down there. He said, you don't go down there because if you do, I can't perform this thing. In other words, you've got to lean on and trust in me. So Isaac sowed in that land and received, look at verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year, what? 100-fold, come on, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord did what to him? He blessed him. Now understand, he was under the blessing, but the Lord had to bless him under the blessing. My point to you is, when we were starting the ministry in Minnesota, and one of the sisters who had been on welfare for quite a while, she kept hearing the teachings. And so I asked for testimonies one morning, and she stood up and said this, I'm coming off of welfare. The next thing you know, she was off welfare and had a job as an assistant manager. Now, let's deal with this. Because the blessing is on you. But if you are not receiving it by faith, you are not activating the blessing. Stay with me. When I told him a story this morning, when we first come here, we were staying at Sister Beverly's house, which she opened a home to us and kept us, and while we got the ministry started and so forth. And about 8 months, I knew it was time for us to move out of there. But every time I tried to save some money to move out, something would happen. The car would break down. I mean, one time the front end just collapsed. I was trying to figure that out. That was $600 and something. I mean, the money that we tried to save to get out, to get an apartment. So I just got frustrated with it. Now, I said, I'm going to seek the Lord. And I went on a fast, and I fasted for about 3 or 4 days, but the answer came. And God said to me, I'm hearing God now. He said, declare what you want. Now, over in Job, it says, you shall decree a thing. Do you see what I'm saying? So, I said this, and I felt it in my spirit. We'll be moving, I said it out loud. I'm saying nobody but me and the Lord. We'll be moving in 7 days. Well, the next day was Sunday. And my wife and I were going to church to visit some churches because we hadn't really started our ministry that well here. And as we were going, and while we were coming back, I said, well, baby, we'll be moving in 6 days. She said, what? I said, we'll be moving in 6 days. Now, I saw something come on her because she didn't have what I had. Because God spoke to Abraham, not to Lot. Sometimes we're trying to take folks with us. Now, when I say that, with us in our level of faith that we're in. See, Lot got blessed because he was the law of association. So I said, but she knew not to say anything against it because she knew I was a faith man. And she's a good wife. But I could see her kind of well up, you know, and I could see her, she wanted to say something. And then I guess it was the next day or the next day, we were riding trying to look at some places. And we looked at a couple of places. I said, boy, this is not me, is it? And we rode by a luxury apartment building. And my son, who was so small at that time, he was asleep on the back seat. But when we rode by the building, he rose up. He looked out of the window and pointed and said, "We're going to live right there," and laid his head back down. I wanted to smack him because I didn't have any right there money. Abraham's wealth was not earned. You got to get this. This is very important. Abraham worked like anybody else, but the grace, the anointing, the blessing was on his life. So what did I do? I drove on and so forth. And then the next day, I told Mo, I said, "Let's go back by that building." So we went back by there just like we had some money. And we went in and talked to the lady, and she showed us some apartments, showed us 2-bedroom, showed us 1-bedroom, showed us the efficiency. She just came back in the office. She said, "Okay, which one would you like to take?" She said, "The 2-bedroom's available." I said, "Well," and she said, "Well, the 1-bedroom," so forth. I said, "Well, how about that efficiency? Is that now the efficiency is where everybody looks at everybody all the time." But see, I'm kind of halfway. See, tell him you my sister. Come on, y'all, and let me come over here. Even though you don't do it all the way, God is still faithful. You gotta hear me. So what happened? We went back. She said, "Well, let's see now. We can move your furniture in. Let's see here. We have a move date. We can move it in on Tuesday if you want to." And my wife and I, then we looked at each other and said, "Furniture?" She said, you don't have any furniture?" I said, "No, ma'am, we don't have any right now." She said, "Oh, okay. Well, we got some model apartment furniture in the basement. We can bring that up for you." I said, "Praise God." Then she said, "Now it'll be security deposit. You have to pay that up front. And then 1 month's rent, you got to pay that up front." I look at my wife and said, "Secured?" She said, "You don't have a security deposit?" I said, "No, we're working on it, but we don't have it." She said, "That's all right. We'll spread the security out over 1 year." All right. Now, what you do have to pay, though, we have to pay this, the light, get the light and the heat on, and then also your garage, you have to pay that. I said, "Garage?" She said, "Don't tell me." She said, "We'll turn on up." Pharaoh made Abram very rich. He didn't earn it because of the blessing of Abraham. I want you to see this. I had to activate the promise by faith. That's just the way it is, folks. God won't change from faith. And so what happens now is we moved in there, and then we moved on up to a 1-bedroom, I think, and then moved on up to a 2-bedroom, and so forth and so on. Now, the only thing I'm saying to you is this, that the blessing now is being passed on. Now it's being passed on to Isaac. But let's do one more. And let's go one more degree. Look at chapter, now here's Isaac. Now look what happened to Isaac. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year, how much? 100-fold. Who blessed it? The Lord blessed it. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became how great? Very great. Now, somebody told me very great means he exceeded the wealth of his dad. His dad was great, but now he's what? Very great. So where his dad had 2,000 servants, what does he have now? He's getting 4,000 servants, for he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herd, great store of servants, Philistines envied him, so forth and so on. And Abimelech said to him, "Go from us, for thou art much what? Mightier than we are." All right, let's keep going, because now we're doing in Genesis chapter 27. Here is Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau and Jacob were twins. They came out at the same time. And as a result of them coming out at the same time, Esau came out first and Jacob came out second. So Esau was the firstborn and Jacob came out after Esau. However, when it came time to the blessing, Jacob went to his dad and he began to, he acted like he was Esau. Esau was a tiller of the soil and Jacob was whatever Jacob was. And so Esau had some smell to him, you know, praise God. And so he said, you don't smell like Esau. But he said, yeah, I am Esau and so forth and so on. So he gave him some porridge and so forth and so on and gave him something to eat. And the father blessed him. Now, here's a proof that the father blessed him. Verse 1 of Genesis 28. Let me know when you get there. Come on. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Let's go down to verse 3. And God Almighty do what to do? Bless thee and make thee what? Fruitful and what? Multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people and give thee the what? Blessing of Abraham. So Jacob got the blessing of Abraham. Now the blessing of Abraham is being transferred, see? And it's being transferred, but once he laid his hand on Jacob, Esau came crying and said, listen, what, can't you bless me too? He said, no, I've given it away already. I've given it away already. Now understand, you and I got blessed because we are in Christ. And Christ was blessed. Now, here's Jacob. Now, Jacob had to leave town because Esau was really going to kill him. And so now, as he's left, he is now on a journey, and he comes to this man named Laban. Look at verse 9 of chapter 29. And verse 9, and while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she what? Kept them. Who kept the sheep? Rachel. Now, folks, this man had his daughter out there keeping sheep. When David kept sheep, what tried to get the sheep? A lion and a bear. It was wild animals out there. Laban was broke. He had to work his daughters in the field because he was broke. But here comes a man with the blessing of Abraham on it. Come on now, you got to see this. See, I'm letting you see the blessing come right on up through the scripture, see? Because look what it says here now in Genesis chapter 30. Now, Laban got Jacob, because Jacob loved Laban's daughter, Rachel. And so Laban said, work for me for 7 years, and I'll give it to you. Well, he worked for 7 years. Did he get her? Nope. He got which one? The other one. All right. Amen. I started to say the one with the weave, but that's all right. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Oh, dog. I ain't gonna say that. Okay. Strike that out. Praise God. Now, that's all right. Hey, nothing wrong with the weave now. You trying to get yourself together. Praise God. Say amen to that. So now he's working for him for the next one for 14 years. And I mean he's working. Now look what's happening while he's working. He said, verse 26, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said to him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry. For I have learned by what? Experience that the Lord has what? Blessed me for your sake. Why is Laban getting blessed? Because one is there with the blessing of Abraham on it. And look what it said in verse 28. And he said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. And then he said to him, you know how how I've served you and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little when I first came here, and now it's increased unto a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you since my coming. Now, when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said to him, thou shalt not give me what? Anything, for thou wilt do this thing for me, and I will again feed thy and keep thy flock. I will pass through all the flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in the time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats or brown among the sheep shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. What did he do? What did he do with the system? He got off of it. He got off of it. And when he got off of it, something happened. He said, listen, I don't want you to pay me anything else, because you have changed my wages 10 times. You have deceived me 10 times. That's what it said. But I'm going to tell you, when you decide that that job is not your source. Come on now. I'm not saying you don't have to work there. But when you decide it is not your source, and when God brings you in here and tells you to sow a certain thing, and you don't argue with God about it and start putting it in that bucket, you'll see the blessing of Abraham start coming on your life. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. Praise God.